Joining us live now to continue a series on what people think marriage therapy is versus what it actually is, Joe and Cindy Farini with My Marriage Matters. Welcome back, you two.
Hey, thank you.
Good to be with you.
Good morning.
Joe, you ever had somebody take your shoes and walk around in them without your permission?
I think Joey tried once in a while, my son, and it didn't go very well.
No. Okay, so it's not just me. I'm just double-checking on that.
No, it didn't go very well for Joey. Joe could have cared less.
Well, he had a hard enough time walking by himself, let alone putting my shoes on.
Okay, so we've been in the midst of a series. I'm loving the series on what people think marriage therapy is versus what it actually is. Can you give us a quick recap of what we covered so far?
Sure, I'd love to. Well, we have 6 points. We'll see what we get through today. But what we've covered so far, the first one is that, well, most people think that therapy is just talking to a counselor. But that is the number one thing. It is talking to a counselor. So that's the first one. And then the second one is that you'll have opportunity to talk about psychological, educational types of things like your mental, emotional, social, and spiritual health. And we covered that, you know, pretty fully. And then we also covered the tasks and actions that you'll need to take place between each session. So it's not just talking and it's not just learning. It's also taking action and really making a count into, you know, really what you want to see happen and change in your marriage. And then that would bring us to today's topic, which would be our number four one, and that is building awareness of your thoughts, things such as what are my needs and what are my spouse's needs, but also the idea of safety and then purpose, the purpose of what's going on, purpose of marriage, and as well as, you know, what's the purpose of getting better.
Yes. Yeah, so somebody might hear, am I safe, and go, what do you mean? Of course I'm safe. No one's going to hurt me in this marriage in terms of physically, but that's not what that means, I'd assume, right?
Well, no, and I think there's, you know, various aspects, and that kind of goes back to point number two. You know, you're going to be learning about things like your mental status, things emotionally, socially, spiritual health. You know, sometimes you hear about people being spiritually abused and, you know, taking the biblical views out of context. And, you know, sometimes after a while, one spouse might use that so well that you don't even really, you're questioning, am I safe? What? Why? This doesn't even make sense what this person is saying. And so there's those aspects that we have to concentrate on too and ask, are we safe? I would also add that I have had a number of people, we have, Joe and I, as we've mentored them, that have not been in safe situations. And it hasn't necessarily been physical, but it's been a spouse lying, maybe drinking and saying they aren't, but then they're not a safe person to be around because they're more violent. They might not get physically abusive with you, but they are violent in their actions, maybe angry. And so, you know, we've had opportunity to share with people the need for them to get counseling rather than just mentoring because they need to know how to take care of themselves. And I will say that the book by Leslie Vernick that you know that I quote so often here in this segment, it's called The Emotionally Abusive Marriage by Leslie Vernick. And she goes through toward the end of that book many, many ways that a person can kind of check to see if they're safe. And then if they aren't, what to do to make sure that they can get away from that situation or make themselves safe in that situation.
Yeah. You know, there is a stigma often attached to counseling. And I think we need to just eliminate that. Mm-hmm. And I think good biblical counseling is something that we all can benefit from. And a good counselor is someone who will be able to help you not just deal with issues or threats to your building oneness in your marriage that exist at this time, but also can help you begin to flesh out some of those things that could begin to threaten your marriage in the future as well. So I think you know, attaching yourself to a good counselor is something that's just good overall for your marriage.
Yeah, and you know, as part of this point, in terms of building awareness of your thoughts, you added the question, what are my needs? And someone might say, why would I need help from someone figuring out my needs?
Well, you know, when you start to have questions, you have needs. And, you know, a lot of times we might go to a friend and we might, you know, talk about our spouse and what's going on. And maybe that friend is going to sort of have their antennae up and say, wait a minute here. You know, you have some things you need to get taken care of. And then, you know, I have always said, when someone says something to me, gives me a correction or a suggestion even, you know, it might not be something I want to hear or I'm ready to hear, but if you at least take a moment and say, let me listen to it, let me think about it, let me pray about it, let me go to the scripture about it, and let God speak to you. Because sometimes, you know, you're so deep into something, you're not even recognizing that you have needs. You're not recognizing that you're unsafe. And, you know, the whole idea of abuse, you know, is when we're threatened, when something could be harmful, it might even be the person controlling us. And so sometimes you've done it for so long, it's become natural. Yeah. I always liken it to in one of the homes that we've lived in, we had a leak that kept happening over our table in the kitchen. And once it was a toilet problem, once it was a tub problem, once it was Joey playing Free Willy in the tub and going back and forth. And there was like water everywhere. It was coming into the kitchen on the table. And I don't know how many times, five times we must have fixed that thing. And every time that it got fixed, I'd have to clean up the house because you know what drywall and sanding does.
Yeah.
And so finally, the one time that it happened, I looked at Joe, and we'd been looking to move. I said, we're not fixing this until we move. Well, you know, we have a lot of company. And so there was this big hole. It was a big hole over our kitchen table. Well, people would come in and they'd look at this and they wouldn't say a word. And you know what? That's how it is, like sin or things in our life. We get so used to it, we weren't even noticing it. But people would walk in, they'd look up, and they wouldn't say a word. And that reminds me all the time of how we need to be able to say to a person, you know, do you happen to notice that big thing above your kitchen table?
Yeah.
Do you recognize, person, that you are being controlled? Do you recognize that you have needs? Do you recognize that those needs are not being met and your spouse isn't caring if they're met? And so, you know, when you begin to see that, that's just a little pictorial of the sin in our lives. And often sin in our lives is what is causing marital problems.
Yeah, you know, I can't help but make the parallels many times, as I did last time as well in this last session that we did, of people and dentistry. I mean, people come in or they say, I don't need to go to the dentist. I have no problems there. And they come in, they got four cavities or you got rampant periodontal disease or whatever. But in these situations where, you know, there's probably a problem going on there. I mean, all of us have issues. And so we need to find somebody who's willing to take the time and talk with us and work through some of the existing issues. And I think Cindy, she was being very kind in her response to you. But, you know, many times there are folks that are in relationships and they're married to and live with a narcissist who are very good at gaslighting, and they make you feel like, you know, you're always the problem. There's nothing wrong with this marriage, and you need to get over it, you know, type thing. And that should be a big red flag waving in front of you at that point to go get help.
I know for Sarah and I, as you were talking about in our most recent point here, point number four, building awareness of your thoughts and your needs and such. For Sarah and I, you know, as much as I communicate for a living on the radio, I've struggled when it comes to like emotional and relational communication, and having a marriage therapist like help understand what I'm trying to communicate in terms of my needs and say it in a way that's not like rude or offensive or awkward or unclear. That's been a huge help for both Sarah and me.
Very good.
That's great.
Well, you know, we have spoken around the country for family life, and one of the things that we recognized with other speakers that we would speak with is some speakers were excellent at speaking to the crowd, but they didn't want to always get one-on-one with other conferees because that wasn't their forte. Now, I don't know specifically about their marriages. I mean, we got to know their marriages pretty well, and they had great marriages, or they wouldn't be up there talking. But none of us ever went up saying we had it all together either. But that is such a good point, because sometimes you need things pointed out to you that are just difficult to hear, and sometimes somebody else needs to say it rather than our spouse. And because sometimes we don't say it maybe in the way that we should, you know, in a loving way. Maybe we're more critical. And so I think that's great, Brian. And I feel like, you know, it's, you are a great communicator. And so on a one-to-one level, it's different than on a mass media level. It's just totally different.
Yeah, and I've struggled big time with that. It's been like kind of mind-blowing to me. I'm like, I should be better at this by now. I've been married for 20 years and I talk for a living. And then poor Sarah has to deal with me struggling to say something. So gratefully, we have our marriage therapist to help with those situations. Well,
and how about if we think too for a minute, like not all of us are good at the same thing. So for instance, my background is home economics. I loved the whole cooking, sewing, family, you know, that kind of thing. But you know what? My girls never wanted to learn how to sew. I don't think either one of them could sew on a button. And I just have to say, you know what? That is okay that they don't know how to do that because they can ask me to do it. But when it comes to communication, that's a whole different thing. You have to learn things that are going to help you in your marriage. They could sew a little something if they had to make it work for a bit. But, you know, we're talking about long term. And so this is a whole different ballgame. You know, it's not just a hobby that you pick up. This is a skill you have to learn.
It truly is. And it was wonderful to be able, as we got used to our counselor, to be able to have me go, okay, counselor, I need help saying something. And it would work perfectly because she really would do that then. And I needed it. So I'm glad. I hope other people, if only for that reason, just to help communicate something to your spouse that you don't quite know how, it's worth it for that.
Sure.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about a counselor is that they can create an environment that is really conducive to improving your communications with your spouse. Mm-hmm. And so that is so valuable. Absolutely.
And to add here, too, that, you know, when you aren't communicating well, your anxiety levels or your depression levels, if you're prone to that, are going to be all over the place. And so what a great way to be able to sort of lessen that anxiety of the other person when you are willing to say, okay, I didn't get that right. Let's do it again. We often during the communication talk would say, ask for a redo. You know, look at your spouse and say, can I redo that? Can I re-say that? Sometimes I catch myself, and I know Joe catches himself, we'll say it with a tone that we didn't really even mean. And that can come across really hurtful.
Oh, yeah. I have a tone problem. Hi, my name's Brian, and I have a problem with tone.
Hi, Brian.
Hi. Yeah, that's totally true. Yeah. And honestly, through marriage therapy, we've gotten better at extending grace to one another as we've better understood those situations. And how, as we understood each other better, we take things less personally.
Sure. And then a counselor is going to also help you understand whether it's, say, your anxiety levels because of how you're communicating or not communicating. They're going to help you figure out, like, what is causing it. So sometimes it is the tone. Sometimes it's the facial expressions. Maybe it's even just actions that you've taken that you don't even recognize you're doing. Kind of like, you know, habits that we all have, you know, whether it's things we do with our eyes, our mouth, our hands, whatever, you know, learning what is annoying and causing anxiety to the other person. I would say annoying habits are a whole lot different, though, than things that are unsafe. So let's just make that clear here, too. And the question would be, like, what can make it better? And so that's kind of what you just spoke into, Brian. You know, how can I say this better? How can I make this so that my wife hears it better? And, you know, it goes both ways. And then, you know, two, also just really identifying specific things, like, why do I feel like I'm walking on eggshells?
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes you need a third party to help iron some of that stuff out. So it's super helpful.
Absolutely. And it's pretty sobering, as you know, Brian, going through this process. And, you know, it's come to the surface, you know, are there issues there in my life that I've been kind of covering up? You know, am I the selfish one in this relationship? And am I being too prideful and different things like that? And I can tell you pretty much without even being in that counseling session room with anybody is that pride is usually the primary source of many of our problems. Mm-hmm. And pride is also going to be your biggest barrier to getting help. I mean, if you can push back just to get in the door, that's a big accomplishment, but then sitting down and listening to someone else expose some of the issues that have been dividing you as a couple is, you know, that takes a lot of humility to do that.
Yeah. And Joe has just very smoothly made his way to number five, which is making changes to your thoughts and behaviors. And I think his point, number one, is, am I selfish? That is number one. We're all selfish. Let's just admit it. Let's, you know, like we say in family life, my spouse is not my enemy. Let's also just say I am selfish, because we think of ourselves first, even though we may in the end say, I will defer to my spouse, or I will think of them too. We often are thinking, you know, what would make me most comfortable? And some of those selfish, prideful things, you know, you have to learn to change them. And one of them might even be like, am I easily offended? Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm always offended by everything my spouse says, there's probably something for me to have to learn there more specifically.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, we just scratched the surface of this one. Time got the best of us this week, but we'll just keep on continuing this series. It's such a good one. Again, we are encouraging you. We are, you know, me, Brian, and of course, Joe and Cindy Farini with My Marriage Matters, to get some marriage therapy if it's something that you think would be helpful for you. If you're not sure, it would be helpful. That's what I would say. So, Joe and Cindy, if folks want more information on this and other aspects of your ministry life, how do they do that?
Well, first of all, I would say go to My Marriage Matters on Facebook, because we have something there every weekday for people, and we'll have this audio put up either tonight or tomorrow, which I am so appreciative that Ron and our guy Kevin does for us.